I woke up this morning deeply sensing the mercies of God. And just like the song says, His mercies are new every morning.
Hallelujah.
Toward me, toward every one of us.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm so grateful for this opportunity, and not only myself, but a larger group of our brothers and sisters have been able to come this year and been blessed by the Lord. It is truly marvelous to see how the Lord has been coming to these meetings and speaking to our hearts, manifesting His presence, His power. And I've just been so blessed, and I truly want to thank the Lord for what He has been doing. And as this retreat is coming to a close, I have to say, I have to leave one thought here. And I've been deeply impressed with the simplicity and the power of the Word of God that we have heard in these meetings. And I value these teachings, particularly, well, I can name a number of things that have been taught, we've been taught with, but particularly yesterday morning, or I just don't remember exactly when we were admonished once again to seek meekness, to seek righteousness. I feel very strongly about the value and the importance of this teaching. I was reminded of my first meeting with Brother Hans Wolpe, Mr. Wolpe. That was back in 1965. I was introduced to him by a dear Chinese brother, who just took me there. He just said, well, you must come and meet this man. So when I was introduced, the very first word that the Lord gave me through this man was just one sentence. And the second half of it was, but be humble. That's the second half of the sentence. And for many years now, I believe it's some 18 years, and these words just have remained with me. And they have been a constant reminder to me. And the Lord over the years has had to deal with me over this theme. But be humble. But be humble. And we love the song. We love Brother Evans' favorite song, Walk with God Humbly. And we happen to have it in Chinese. But we don't have the English. And we happen to have it in one of the song books that Sister Burian sent us that we're using in our church. And I feel that we need to get this teaching into our system, particularly the young people who have a long way to go yet, many years ahead of us. And we do not have to remember everything that was said. because I found that even just these three words that the Lord gave me through Brother Wogo have helped me over the years. Oh, how wonderful it is to be humble before the Lord and to receive grace. And of course, we all are familiar with that verse that God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Amen.
Gives grace to the humble. And I found out that humility, meekness and humility, is the one absolutely necessary condition to receive more grace from God, receive grace from the Lord. And I've been impressed very deeply this morning with this just one verse that I feel I should pass it on to you. It's in James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I feel that in order to act upon what we have heard at these meetings, we need more grace. Yes. But here we are told, we are reassured again that he giveth more grace. Hallelujah. And by his grace we shall be able to act upon it. And I have learned over the years to pray. Let's pray. God, give me the grace to be humble. Give me the grace to love. Give me the grace to forgive. Give me the grace to do that which I am not able to. And I found that on many occasions, God has given me grace.
Hallelujah.
Someone has said that the grace is the enabling power of God, the power of God to enable you to do what you in yourself are unable to do. Amen. And I'm so glad that he gives more grace. He gives more grace. Our God is a God of righteousness, but he's also a God of mercies. And his mercies are new every morning toward us. And I just wanted to leave this simple thought to you. And I feel that we've been so privileged to have been here and to hear these precious teachings from the Lord, and that we can leave this place thanking him, rejoicing in him,
yes,
and believing him continuously that he is going to give us more grace. And I know that there are some people, I know, amongst our own group who have been seeking the baptism and up to this moment have not yet received it. But I am sure that as they keep seeking it, as they keep believing the Lord to do it, they shall receive it, because this is the promise that the Lord has given them. Seek, you shall find, and ask, you shall receive. Oh, how wonderful it is that our God is a God of all grace. I believe this verse was used by the Apostle Peter. Oh, how he learned to know the grace of God, to depend upon the Lord for his grace. It is so wonderful to read the apostles, you know, at the close of each epistle, and these words are used. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I believe this is also the last verse of the Bible. Oh, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. See, the grace. These men that we read in the Bible, they had their failures, right? We read, but oh, they learned to appreciate the grace of the Lord, to trust the Lord for His grace, to depend the Lord for His grace. And I'm so glad for the grace of God. And I was impressed again this morning that my grace is sufficient for thee.
Hallelujah.
At all times, in every situation. Hallelujah. In everything, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, I feel so reassured. You know, whether we have received or we've been seeking, and whether we have to go home and make the adjustments that the Lord has shown us that we will have to make. But look, He gave us more grace. And I found this out that sometimes the Lord demands of us that behind each demand, there is more grace. Yes. There is more supply. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. And it's so wonderful.
Thank you, Lord.
To be able to say, oh yes, Lord. I'll say yes. I say yes. And I do this. And when we say yes to Him, He gives us more grace. He enables us to do it. Oh, how wonderful it is. To have just Jesus, to continue to seek Him. He's been so wonderful to us. You know, I'm so thankful that the Lord has brought a larger group of our people to camp this year. And to be perfectly honest with you, I have done very little or no urging that these people should come to camp. The credit must go to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The hunger that the Lord has put in these dear brothers and sisters of mine. And also, the Lord has caused them to appreciate this way, this inward way, this way of walking with God. Oh, they are being brought, you know, to this way by the Lord Himself, by the Holy Spirit Himself. And yesterday, our brother Gardner prayed, I believe, in his prayer, said that, I sort of got them together. And no, it's very difficult, I tell you. If you know something about these people, amongst the 22 of them, I just want to mention one thing, and there are 4 PhDs and 2 candidates for PhDs. And I couldn't have done it. But you know, it is the simplicity of the Word of God, the simplicity and the power of the Gospel. It is these which have drawn them, unto the Lord. We don't, I find that we don't need to add anything to this. And in our church, and I hardly preach a long sermon. And some of these dear brothers and sisters have come from the background where they were used to listening to good preaching, long extended the preaching. expositions on the Word of God, and I'm not very capable of that. And that I just trust the Lord to do His work. And the Holy Spirit just draws them unto Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit just reveals, the precious Jesus to their hearts. And they're just drawn. When they find Jesus, they're satisfied. Hallelujah. And yes, well, first we need the Word of God, that just as we have heard it. Oh, God, I just pray that God will give us more Word. Powerful. Living, a word of life, a word that is spirit and life, and it feeds people. I'm so glad that we've had this opportunity. I'm so thankful for it. Praise the Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
I suppose in a weekend like this, the Lord deals with each one of us individually through the messages and through the things that are said. And I guess the thing that has been impressed upon me so much this weekend was the exhortation that was given by Mike concerning consecration. And as he was giving that, I was thinking, now, well, how does this fit in with what's been spoken concerning humility, concerning grace, and these and the faith that we've heard of? And as I was thinking about that, the Lord brought two scriptures to my mind, and it's in Romans 12, very familiar verses, but Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And I feel it's so important for us to really see the principle that is involved here. You know, the Lord cannot work with anything that's not His. And before He can bring about these changes in our lives, we must give them everything completely in His hands. And it must be His, not just in word, but in reality. And I believe that the Apostle Paul caught a real sight of this as he was writing this epistle to the Romans. Later on in his life, as the Lord had brought him into the richness of experience. And a highly doctrinal epistle it is, and yet toward these latter chapters, he begins to bring in the more spiritual aspects of it. And he begins by saying, I beseech you, therefore. And you know, in the original Greek, that word beseech means I plead with you, I beg with you, I beg of you, brethren, therefore. You know, whenever you see a therefore, you ought to see what it's there for. And, you know, in the verses previous to this, he's talking about how the Lord had brought in the Gentiles and how they needed to be careful, that if they didn't continue in the things, God was able to remove them just as he removed the children of Israel. And he says these verses in verse 33 through 36 of the previous chapter. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, in a sense, is saying, listen, there's no way that we can conceive of what God has for us, of what he wants to do in us or through us, really. The only pattern that we have is Jesus Christ himself. And we see little glimpses of his life while he was upon the earth. We see times in which the words that he spoke, the quality of life that he lived. And there was a very interesting experience that Jesus had. It said he went up on a mountain and took James and John and Peter with him. And it said that as he was praying, his countenance was altered. And suddenly his physical body began to shine like the noonday sun. Even his very raiment, his very clothing was affected by it. And it said that happened that as he was praying. And a very interesting thing that Elijah and Moses came, and it said that Elijah and Moses appeared to him in glory. And isn't that interesting, that they appeared to him in glory? And they were discussing things, obviously, concerning his crucifixion and glorification, ascension of the Father, perhaps about the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that was to come. And then Peter and John were there, a cloud overshadowed them, and it said something interesting. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And a verse came to my mind, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. And what was the Lord talking about? He was talking about his son being transfigured on the mountain. And Peter and James and John saw that. They saw that his whole body was transformed as he was praying. And God was saying, in a sense, did you see what happened to my son? As he was praying, as he was seeking God, as he was laying down his life. Listen, Jesus could have gone off into heaven right then. But he would have never taken us with him, would he? And Jesus came down from that mountain and went to the cross of Calvary. He humbled himself, took upon the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore hath God also highly exalted him. And I thought to myself, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Listen, there's not one of you here that if you're born again, if you've been regenerated of the Holy Ghost, listen, you are a son of God. It does not appear what you shall be. Perhaps you don't see that glory revealed, but believe me, it's in you.
Amen.
And you know, according as we come down, and according as we seek the Lord, and as we just humble ourselves before the mighty God, the mighty hand of God, listen, that's the grace that we're looking for, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is there anybody that doesn't want to be transformed? Jesus said, listen, you are the light of the world. And I believe that when he said you're the light of the world, perhaps he had that in his mind of what was going, that change that was going to take place. And his whole body, his whole being was going to be changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you know, he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. The word present in the original Greek means to make a decisive, once and for all dedication. It's not just something you do lightly, but it's something you make a decisive dedication, and that you present your bodies. And listen, folks, God's after our bodies. You notice he doesn't say here, present your soul and spirit, but he says, present your bodies. Bodies, a living sacrifice. And listen, these sacrifices, in the Old Testament, they were presented daily, twice a day. The morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. And you know, we've come and we've reconsecrated our life on this night as this exhortation came forth. But listen, it's something we need to do continuously. We need to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith. We need to come and say, now, Lord, I give myself again to you, renewed again today. Take me and make me what you would have me to be in spirit, soul, and body. That, oh God, that this glory might shine forth in all of its power. Yes. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Listen, God wasn't interested in those animals that were shed. But listen, Jesus himself died for us. And we're to be identified with his death, his burial, and not just that, but at his resurrection. But if we're going to come into the resurrection life, and if we're going to come into that Mount of Transfiguration glory, we've got to follow him in his death and burial, don't we? It's the same pattern for us. And we do that by daily choosing to come down at the feet of Jesus and saying, Lord, let me be hidden out of the way in Christ glorified. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. You know, I used to think that word holy meant perfect. But if you go through the Old Testament, it doesn't mean that. As a matter of fact, everything that was simply dedicated to God became holy. In other words, if you brought a chicken and dedicated it to the Lord, it became holy. If you brought a cup full of flour and dedicated it, it became holy. It didn't have to grow into that holiness. It was holy. And listen, if we will come to the place where we decisively give our lives, our possessions, our hopes, our dreams to Jesus, we become holy. He is our holiness. He is our righteousness. He's lived the perfect life. We stand justified before God. And his sanctifying spirit is working in us. But listen, he needs your bodies. And if you give him and present your bodies a living sacrifice, then you'll find that the glory of God will begin to shine for you, through you. And listen to what he says. Sacrifice holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says, which is your reasonable worship. You know, I want to say something today. It's wonderful that we're here praising the Lord. And it's wonderful that we're singing the hymns. And it's wonderful that we're involved in all of the service for the Lord. But listen, until you have presented your body to the Lord, until you've made that consecration and that givenness to God, then all of this thing is just outward religious form. And listen, you think the praise is glorious here. But listen, I can tell you, those Jews in the time of Jesus praised the same way. But there was something missing, wasn't there? They went through all of the religious forms. But the one thing that God was looking for was that religion and spirit and truth. He said, the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And God was saying, listen, I'm interested not in so much what you're doing, but I'm interested in yourself. And if you'll give me yourself, holy, without reservation, I'll take it and I'll do something glorious through it, exceeding abundant, above all you can ask or think. That's our reasonable worship. And you know, every time we lift our hands to God, there should be that thing, God, I'm giving myself to you. Every time we're involved in some sort of service for the Lord, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. Whenever we come to prayer in our times of devotion, God, I'm giving myself to you. I'm not so much interested in what I can get out of it, but I want to be Christ-centered. You know, I was thinking of a prayer in the New Testament. What a marvelous picture you have of this. Peter and John, we had come before the Sanhedrin, and they had testified boldly of Christ. And they threatened them, and they said, listen, we don't want you to mention the name of Jesus or even preach this name among the people anymore. Peter and John went back to their people. They were gathered, and they began to cry out to God and said, oh, God, come and fill us with the Holy Ghost that we might preach the word in boldness. Now, listen, they knew what was going to happen. They knew that when God came and gave them that boldness, they were going to be tortured. They knew they were going to be thrown into prison. They knew their children were going to be taken from them. They knew all that. They could care less. The one thing they wanted was to have the boldness they could go out and preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost and power, that they could fulfill that commission. And as they were gathered there, what they were doing in effect was presenting their bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And listen, it was a very real thing. They knew and they had seen the effects of the Roman scourge upon many, many malefactors. And they'd seen the bleeding backs. And they'd seen what the Roman governments, and they'd seen what the Jews could do to those that opposed them. They didn't care. They were presenting their bodies a living sacrifice. And sure enough, the persecution came out and they scourged them, and they went back rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. And he says, be not conformed to this world. I heard a wonderful definition of worldliness the other day, allowing yourself to be affected by other people. It's peer pressure. It's allowing the world to conform. Interesting that the Lord used this word conform, isn't it? It means to be, in a sense, molded. And listen, the world wants to take your individuality. It wants to, we were made in the image and likeness of God, but the world wants to make you in the image of Satan himself. But Lord, you know, as we present our bodies to God, what's going to happen is that we're going to begin to shine and to reflect the image of the Son of God, stamped with his image and likeness. But be transformed. You know what the word means in the original? It means the same word as when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. It means to be metamorphosized, transfigured. Paul said, listen, when you present your body a living sacrifice to God, it's you become transfigured. He's talking about that light shining forth. We see when Stephen was standing before the Sanhedrin, it said that his face began to shine as it was the face of an angel. There was a person just like you and just like me that was shining with the glory of God, just like what Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. People, this is the way it's going to happen. As we fill our mind with the thoughts of God, as we meditate upon it, and mostly begin to act upon it, we find that within us is all the grace and the power that we need to live this life and to be the example that God has for us, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, perhaps this weekend you've sat through these meetings and you've entered in and you praised. Perhaps you haven't felt very much. Perhaps you have. But that doesn't make any difference, does it? The just shall live by faith. Amen. And you know, during this time I entered into the worship, I didn't feel a whole lot. There was, I think, one time when the glory of God came into my soul. But listen, I came up here and I prayed and I said, God, you know what I need. And I'm looking to you to come and to give me the strength to live for you. And you know, I believe that he has planted seeds within my heart.
Hallelujah.
And I'm going to leave this place and I'm going to say, Jesus, I claim the work of the Holy Ghost.
Lord.
Take what you've done within my heart and establish
Hallelujah.
It.
Amen.
And work it out through the coming days. Let it be a growing work. Let it be an expanding work. We can take it by faith, can't we? The things of the Spirit go beyond our intellect. They go beyond our feeling. They're deep down in the deepest inner recesses of our soul. For that reason, we have to take it by faith. But listen, I know that God was here this weekend.
Yes.
And I know that we took faith and we prayed, and others prayed, And I know that God has done a deep and eternal work.
Amen.
And we're going to find, and we're going to find throughout the coming days that we've been changed.
Amen.
God's come to us.
Amen.
And he's prepared us for his soon coming.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Living in thee, Lord, and God in thee, consider abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, wonders set free, power with heaven, power with me.
share one thought from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. I love this book of Proverbs. The Lord helped me to dig into it early in my Christian life, and I found it to be a tremendous resource of the practical walk, of the walking the outward life. And in chapter 4, I have titled this chapter, The Lifelong Pilgrimage, and I was thinking how that fit in with Pilgrim Camp, that this is not a camp to come to live, but it's a camp for pilgrims to come to refresh themselves and then to go onward. And I've broken this chapter into three parts. The first part I called Seeking, A Lifelong Pilgrimage as a Life of Seeking, beginning with verse 1. And then beginning in verse 10, the pilgrimage is a life of choosing. And I was interested how, and I had a great love, I still do, for studying the deeper truths and for getting all the commentaries and all the books. But I found out that it sometimes only goes so far. But one commentary said about one of these verses that it's not brains or opportunity, but it's decision. It's choosing. It's a life of choosing the right way, not of just getting all that knowledge up in our head. And then the third section, beginning in verse 20, I've called it the life of concentration. And I'd like to read just two verses, 20 and 21, and maybe 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I really love one commentary that I read on these particular verses, which is this: the major part of godliness is dogged attentiveness to familiar truths. Now, this sounds sort of wordy, but it's really not. It's really important. I'll say it again. The major part of godliness is dogged attentiveness to familiar truths.
That's right.
Now, I used to tape all the meetings wherever I went, and I have a pile of them somewhere in the attic right now. But I used to love to tape and to review and categorize these different truths, and I was amazed one time when I went through the whole selection, I found out there were very few basic truths, that we hear some of the same truths over and over. I remember one time particularly I was struck by a meeting, and a truth was being expounded, and I found out that I wasn't living up to that truth, and I was looking back through my Bible later, and I said, you know, I heard the same thing not too long ago, and I was going to go through on that thing, and here it is, here it comes up again, and I'm still not where I should be with that truth. And so I've come to realize the real foundation truth behind this, that we need that real dogged attentiveness to familiar truths. Now, when I came up one day this summer to bring some group of campers up. I was only here for one day, and I wanted something from the Lord. And so I knew that the Lord would give me something, and I knew that He was going to give me some homework. And I found that true. Whenever I've come to camp, the Lord has given me some homework to do. And while I was in a meeting, the subject came up of abiding in the Lord. And that saying came to me, nothing is important but Jesus and abiding in Him. And so I says, you know, I know that truth and I need it deeper in me, so I'm going to write that down. I'm going to write it down on a plaque. And I wanted it especially for work, because get busy there sometimes, and we get too busy, and I wanted to write that down where I could see it. So I said, Lord, I'm going to do that. So I made a note of it. After the meeting, or a little later in the day, I went down to the boathouse, and here was a plaque. Nothing's important but Jesus and abiding in Him. So I picked up a couple, and I took it, and I put it at work, and it's been a blessing. And that was the homework, and the Lord helped me. He wrote it down for me, and so it saved me some time. But I realized that, you know, these are basic, important truths, and we just have to go over them and pray over them and say them out loud. I know at work, that's really been my salvation, taking familiar truths and repeating them in times where I have a spare moment, especially on the elevator. I always pray for an empty elevator. Pray on the way up, pray on the way down. And it makes, the presence of the Lord real come to me. And it's a wonderful thing how the Lord provides these things. We all need a corner sometimes, many times during the day. And I'm thankful for that. So I'm thankful for the homework that the Lord has given us. And one other suggestion I'll pass along is that I've taken some of these familiar truths and I've put them on a, well, I work with computers, so I put them on a computer card I can carry in my pocket. I put down these familiar truths. And so when I have a spare moment, I'll go over them. And when I'm at home, I'll take these and I'll say, now I know that I should pray about over the Beatitudes, or I should pray over 1 Corinthians 13. But I don't want to forget that, you know, I want to pray through on these things. So I've got to remind myself how basic and how important these basic familiar truths are. I don't think we've heard anything new here this weekend. It's just the things that are so basic, so important to godliness, are to get these truths inside of us. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has the power. We need to do some homework. We need to make a plan. I do that every morning at work. I make a plan. Don't always make it through, but I make a plan, what I want to do. And you know that's so important in our spiritual life, to make a plan. How am I going to get through on this thing? How am I going to get that truth inside of me? And how am I going to make it real to my life so it's not just in my head? And so when I come back here next retreat, I'm hearing the same things, and I'm realizing that I didn't get everything that I should have. It's by being attentive and by really getting these things inside.
I'd like to tell you something else you can buy at the bookstore. Sister Margaret has a way of faithfully prodding me to make announcements, and so I'll make this announcement in particular. And that has to do with humility. She reminded me that the book by Andrew Murray is available at the bookstore. And so after the meeting, if you really want it, you better get there, because I know there aren't too many copies there, but it's one of the finest books on the subject that you can get. One of the finest books that's ever been written on the subject. I know that God has himself has indicated at times by the word of the Lord that people should take that book and read it and pray over it and deal with him about it very specifically. It was my father's favorite book. And after my father passed away, my mother, understandably, I suppose, he died when I was 7 1/2. That adds a little point to the story. But anyway, she gave some of the choicest things of my father to his brothers as a memento. They loved my father very dearly, and she desired that they should have something that they would could cherish, that was very precious to him. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't have any humility when I found that my mother had given my father's favorite book away. And I gave her no rest. Young as I was, I gave her no rest until she had bought another copy that was exactly the same, and then that she had copied every one of my father's markings in that book and what he had written down. And I'm thankful that I have it to this day, and the Lord has made it a blessing to me likewise. And I would like to recommend it to all of you. I just would like to say something this morning. As I awoke, why, the Lord reminded me of the fact that the suggestion that was made that we ought to pray for meekness every day. And so I began to deal with God about the subject. And then the Lord brought a verse to my mind that I hadn't thought of recently. I've read it hundreds of times, maybe more than hundreds of times in my life. And for the life of me, I could not think where that verse was. I knew it must be in the Psalms. And I said, well, now it must be in this Psalm or this Psalm or this Psalm. Three choices I had. And it was the verse, the meek shall he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. And so I went to my Bible, and lo and behold, it isn't marked in this Bible at all or anything, but I almost, as it were, opened right to it. And there it was facing me. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. I won't tell you where it is. I'll let you find that out. I certainly should have known, and I don't know why I didn't, but, you know, those things slip us once in a while.
Psalm 25.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I want to say thank you to all of you for your kindness to me. An offering was taken yesterday morning for me, and I want to thank you very much for your great love and kindness expressed that way. And I would appreciate your prayers. I expect to go to Europe on Wednesday night, be there for a conference time, and then later on, if I get a visa, to South Africa. It's in the works now, but they wanted 3 months for a visa for a preacher to get into South Africa. It is South Africa. And, of course, we didn't have that much time. And so they're working on that. I don't know if it's come through or not, but we'll find that out. But we expect to go down there, too, for 2 weeks' meetings in the among the Indian people there in South Africa as they dedicate the new chapel memory of Sister Helen Haas. And it's also an anniversary of the Mirbank Church. There are different churches that are related there in different sections. And it'll be a new experience. But if you think of me, it'd be appreciated very much if you pray that God will help me.